Chapter 2. Storytellers might have described Marinda's little cottage, yard, and garden plot as idyllic, but no storytellers would ever write about this place. It was just her home, and it was perfect because that was how Marinda chose to define perfection. Marking the head of the path that branched off to the cottage stood a 5-foot-high burlwood angel. This particular angel looked bent rather than majestic. One wing tucked under the other gave the impression that she was flightless. Only perfect burlwood angels were sent to the markets in Crown City, while less successful carvings, like this one, remained in Lugtown, like beloved, albeit misfit, children. Marinda headed back to the cottage much earlier than expected. But Arlen Peake could be capricious and unpredictable himself, so he wouldn't be overly bothered by the change in schedule. As an inventor, he was expected to be eccentric. If the rumors were true, the watchmaker himself had tolerated Arlen's unorthodox behavior, and if the loving watchmaker allowed it, then the people of Lugtown wouldn't hold it against him. Although, truth be told, the eccentric behavior presented its own challenges for Marinda, on top of caring for his other infirmities. The conversation with Benjulian Frull had troubled Marinda. She knew she had to accept that her father would pass on someday, and then the cottage would belong to her. In the typical blueprint of a life in Albion, Marinda would have settled in that cottage with a husband and a family, maybe 3 children, maybe even red-headed and freckled boys. But she had deviated from that norm. She would find a profession for herself, do something useful and interesting to occupy her days, and carry on. The clockwork angels said that good work leads to good fortune, and she had no doubt that her fortune would continue, with or without whatever secret gold her father had stashed away from his time in Crown City. Marinda didn't think about it often. "We get what we deserve." That was what the watchmaker always said. In front of the cottage, she saw the 3 clockwork regulators that Arlen had built out of spare parts scrounged from mining machinery at the agate quarry, engineering cast-offs from the regular steamliner, and specialized components ordered from providers in Crown City. The mechanical regulators were powered by tiny rock pearls glowing with quintessence, assisted by standard spring-driven clockwork mechanisms. Arlen Peake had named the 3 wind-up companions, Zevo, Woody, and Lee, apparently after 3 regulator friends he had known back in Crown City. Her father often told wistful stories about the real friends, but he said very little about his time in the regulator barracks or the watchmaker's tower. "That is a story you will get in due time, my sparkling daughter," he had said. "All in its time, all in its place." She could accept that. The clockwork regulators were 4 feet tall, with metal arms and legs, pulleys and pistons that glowed with the addition of cold fire fuel. Each head was a smooth copper pot painted with a cheery face. They ratcheted about, did their assigned tasks. To prevent overheating, puffs of steam would blast out from tiny vents where their ears should have been. Each wore a downsized uniform just like that of a traditional regulator. Zevo in the bright uniform of the Red Guard, Woody dressed as a member of the Blue Guard, while Lee served as a miniature Black Guard. When Arlen Peake had built these 3 charming companions, he intended for them to do household chores and work in the garden. He wanted to ease Marinda's burden of taking care of him, so she could have the freedom to live her own life. Alas, the 3 artificial regulators required their own maintenance and supervision, which negated any time savings. Black-uniformed Lee stood guard on the walkway, as if ruthless bandits from chaotic times before the watchmaker's stability might raid the cottage, although this clockwork contraption could have done little to defend them. Woody worked the well pump in the yard to fill a water bucket, since Wednesday was soup night. The regulator activated the syncopated well pumping station, a set of gears that spun an engine driven by a few drops of cold fire. He set the wheels in motion, oscillating a piston up